Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Okay, let there be no doubt, okay? Right off the bat here on, what is this? Is this Wednesday morning? It's Wednesday morning. Let me say this right off the bat. I hate Facebook. I hate it with a deep, deep, deep passion, okay? So I can't explain to you why. When I'm down here at Florida, I love to do Facebook Lives, and I just do. It's easier to make a video that way than to try to upload it onto YouTube and do all that crazy stuff that you want to try to do with it. And I got a lot of good things going on. I could get some great interviews. But then I got all this data on my phone, and then I got to come back and I got to upload it, and that takes a while. And so I'm not good at that. I'm an impulsive, let's get it done kind of guy. If I can hand it over to Gary, who's anal, then maybe Gary could do it for me, but I don't have the patience for it. So I've tried the last 4 days to go on Facebook and do something very, very simple. Go to Facebook. Now, I hope they're watching right now. And then just go right to the top of your little Facebook thing on your phone and just say, hey, I'm going to go Facebook Live so I can talk to the world. And look what it says. I'm blocked from this action. Now, can somebody tell me why I am blocked from Facebook? Jared, why am I blocked from doing a live Facebook broadcast? Can anybody explain that one to me? I'm sick of those guys.
All right? Maybe because you're telling the truth, Coach? Maybe because you're against baby murdering?
Well, it could be, but what do you mean temporarily blocked? Temporarily blocked? You have been temporarily blocked from performing this action. Been like a stinking 6 weeks. You're right, Vinny. But anyway, I'm in a pretty good mood here today, trying to be. Got a great group of guys here. I'm player of the week so far. Is Larry Richardson. Can I tell you why Larry Richardson's player of the week? Hey, boys. Larry's over there, so I'm careful what I say. Larry's pretty anal, too. I discovered it. Larry's pretty anal. He goes around at night, and he makes us all fill out these little sheets for what kind of sandwich we want to have the next day. If I'm making sandwiches, Larry's making lunch for us every day. If I'm doing it, I'll throw a little bit of peanut butter on there, a little bit of jelly, and say, here you go, man, eat it. Now, Larry comes around with a list, and there on the screen right now, there's Larry making his list. And he comes around, and he not only makes your sandwich, but whether you want lettuce, tomato, whether you want mayo, whether you want mustard, and what kind of chips you want. Do you want potato chips? Do you want corn chips? And, I mean, It's amazing, right? And so then he shows up. You see that little brown bag in front of Larry there on the screen? It's on the screen, isn't it? I'm looking at it. It's on the screen. Larry shows up. Not only does he have your bag, he's got your order on it. He's got your order sheet on the bag. It's like, I've never seen like, Larry, just give me a sandwich, will you? Larry's worked his butt off down here, so he's been player of the week so far. Appreciate that. And, hey, Roger, Larry's player of the week, and you get to be player of the week tonight because I'm going to take all these guys out and you're going to pay for it. So you're going to be player of the week, Roger, and you're going to have to see it's going to be about, I don't know, Roger, it's probably going to be $500 or $600 tonight to feed these guys at this place that we're going to take them. So, Roger, that means you'll have to do, what, 2 15-minute phone calls to pay for that? Isn't that what lawyers charge? So we feel bad for a minute, but we don't feel bad for very long. So we're having a good time. There's Larry. Look at him. Look in there, man. Awesome. There's Dale Socha came walking through. I'm going to let some of these guys say some stuff to you today. Let me go back to my homepage here, Jared. I'm just kind of rattling without a direction, and I don't didn't want to do that. It's cold. Hey, Dale's locked out. Somebody's coming get him. It's cold in here this morning. We're all freezing. We must not be paying our bill. Okay, look, here, a couple things. This is important. just a little bit of homework. I got to do this before we get too far. Those of you coming to Occupy 2019 in Canton, Ohio, we want you all to come, by the way. But if you're somebody who's already registered or in the future, you're getting ready to come to Occupy 2019, if you get your hotels at our hotel, which is on the website, you have to say to them that there's a block of rooms. Because if you try to check in, you just call and say, I'd like to have a room the April 12th through the 14th. They're going to tell you it's sold out. They're going to refer you to another one. We want everybody to stay together with us. And there's a couple of reasons why. If you stay in the hotel with us and we get so many people to stay in, there's so many nights, the room is free. If we don't, fill up our block of rooms, then we have to pay, what is it, Gary, $2,000 or something like that rental for the building. So if you're coming there and you say, you know, I can save $5 a night if I go down there to the other one. Well, yeah, you probably can. But if you register at the hotel, it helps us lower the price of the venue. So, Jared's got that up on the screen there. Thanks, Jared. Occupy. Listen, it's going to be really good. This is going to be a hands-on conference. It's going to be like somebody said to me again the other day, Coach, I don't know anybody's doing what you do, and I don't either. And so that's what we're doing. We're training up doers, and get that done for Occupy 2019. We'll show some pictures and videos I sent to Jared this morning. Jared, first of all, let's go to a Facebook page. Let's start there because that'll be maybe the easiest place to go to my Facebook page. And I'm scrolling along with y'all here, right here. Popped up there. First of all, hey Jared, listen. There's Lexi. Lexi Hall's popped onto our screen. I think she probably popped onto your screen as well. I saw this morning, and so I you tell me whether or not. I want you to listen to this young girl. She's 17 years old. And I want you to listen to this minute and 21 seconds. And you tell me, is she smarter than the average adult? How about this? Is she smarter than the average pastor? Is she smarter than the average deacon or not? Listen to this 1 minute and 21 seconds and say, oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Jared.
This also is used by pro-lifers. This line of, oh, what if one day they were going to cure cancer? Oh, what if one day they would be this or that? Okay, that kind of annoys me, to be honest, when people use that line. Because what if they were just an average person? What if they were just like a regular person that didn't have some great job or whatever? It doesn't matter. Your value doesn't depend on what job you have or how much money you have or any of this. So I really don't like it when pro-lifers just try to make people think, oh, what if they would cure cancer? What if they would be the one to find the cure for cancer? Because even if you were just worked at a grocery store, or if you were the person to find the cure for cancer, you're just as valuable. You have just as much right to life, and it's just as wicked to murder a doctor as it is to murder anybody else, a teacher, to murder anybody. Okay, so somebody with a disability that can't even work.
The value of life, is that something? The value of life is not by what you do or what you have or what you own or what position you hold. It ain't the value of life. 17-year-old girl, she ought to call some congressmen and some senators and maybe try to straighten them out on a little bit on what the value of life is all about. Scroll on down.
Amen,
there.
Amen, Coach.
I want to show this video real quick. this is when we got – stop right there a second. This place, this is just a couple minutes. Mark Trump and I are in the truck. So I want you guys see that picture right in front of you. That whole field there was full of trees that were just falling down, right? So here's what we do. This is going to give you a good illustration of what we do. I should have taken a good before picture. But this field was full of debris. We come in with chainsaws. We saw it up. We've got guys who bring skid steers and tractors, and so they take it, they pick it up for us, and then they take it to the street where the city comes and picks it up. So this is about, I don't know, it's maybe a couple minutes. I want you to watch what we, this is just, again, there's six crews. Was it six, Gary? Five crews, six crews.
Yeah.
Gary's counting. So this is just our crew. This is just the one crew that we had. It was me and Mark Trump, and well, I won't go through all of us there. There's about six of us in our crew. We did this. Well, look at this pile of debris. Now, this home sits right on the very front. Right on, it's man, it's ocean front. This is the back. See the White House there on the left if you're looking at the screen. This is, we're going to go around the front of it. The ocean's right there. The Gulf is right there. I guess that's a Gulf. But I want you to see the debris that we carted out of there yesterday in about 6 hours. Go ahead, Jared.
Here we go. This is a day's work here. Now, that trees were in all of this area you see here. Notice all this brush that we moved out of this. This old lady, I got a story to tell you about her later on. Okay, here we go. This is all laying in that yard. Skid steers, tractors, chainsaws to run over. Here's some more. This is amazing. All of this was taken out of there today. And we got this much again tomorrow. Right over here you can see. Well, maybe it's hard for you to see, but we're right on the ocean. I mean, literally, right on the ocean. And we started working over in this field, too. There's a bunch of the stuff that we pulled out of there today. That's just, we pulled that out of there to clear the way to be able to get back in there. And you can see it's right on the ocean. Let's drive back in here a bit. Had to cut down some fence to get in here. Folks, you can walk right out there and pee in the ocean if you want to. I mean, that is it. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's got to come up. It's still laying down there, so. Pretty good first day, though. Look at these trees. They survived it.
So that gives a feel for that. We did that in six different places yesterday. Well, probably more than that because some of these guys fixed up multiple places, and that's what we're going to do here for the next few days. Some of the guys are coming, leaving today. And Randy, come on over here real quick. Jump in here, Randy. Come on over here. Folks, I just want to give you a feel for these guys. Get over on this side, Randy. Let me.
Now, that looks like a couple million bucks of damage you guys cleaned up, you know.
Well, it's more than that. But I want Randy to talk about this something because I got to whisper. Randy convinced his sons to come, young guys. You know, they're probably thinking their dad's getting a bit nuts anyway, and probably always thought he was nuts. But now, you know, starting to watch this show and getting a little bit more serious and. But they came with them. What's been their experience, Randy?
They've been quiet, Coach. But they're getting equipped. They may or may not know that they're being equipped. I should have cleaned up.
Yeah, look okay. You look okay.
They're feeling that life is more. They're learning that life is more. It's bigger than themselves. It's more than just having fun, being entertained. They realize that we're here to make a difference. Okay, and you don't do that by just sitting at home watching TV. You don't do that by going to the lake and just fishing every day. You do that by looking at people and feeling their hurt, and then telling and then helping them. But listen, this is what this does here. We get to preach the gospel by doing. So I would say my sons will be different men when they leave here. They know what we've done in our own life back home and through their lives. They know we've been good neighbors, that, you know, all that stuff. But when they come here and they get with other men that of integrity, and then they see them cry, and they see them work hard, and they see them doing. Being real men, that they can never unsee that. That changes them. See, this is on the job training.
Here's what dawned on me yesterday, folks. If you go to somebody, my goodness, Tree Limb Jim's here. Hang on, somebody let Tree Limb Jim in. Here's what hit on me yesterday, because last night we're sitting around, we get a meal together and all that stuff, and we were sitting around. Hey, Jim.
What a coach.
Good to see you, man. We were eating, and we're done. We don't want to break up the meetings after we eat. Everybody sits at their table and talks, right? And I realized this. I said, you know what? Here's what's really good. You can bring young guys here who don't really know where they are with their faith, right? And they hear about being a Christian man and
you know, praise the Lord and blah, blah, blah. Jesus is so good, as the image that they have of Christians. And you come and you sit in that room with us last night and you understand that being a Christian is living your life with a different set of values and walking those values out. And you don't sit around all the time and praise the Lord, right? We laugh, we rub shoulders with each other, right?
Yes, sir.
And so those guys, those young guys are looking around and saying, my God, I never knew this is what Christian men did. And this is not, you don't hear any F-bombs being dropped. You don't hear anybody cutting farts. It's just men acting like Christian men are supposed to act. That's why when Chad coined it as church camp for adults, it really is. And it rubs off on you, doesn't it, Randy?
It'll change you. I encourage people. This is my first time down there. I've worked all my life. I'm not afraid of work. But now I get to put into action work and ministry. It opens the door, folks. It opens the door. But the relationships, I've heard so many testimonies that they're all life-changing.
Mm.
To see men walk out and to being changed and transformed into Christ. It's just life changing,
and just serving that. People and not expecting anything in return, right? That old lady said she's 89 years old. She said to yes, why are you boys doing it? Boys and boys,
yeah.
Why are you boys doing this? So, hey, just the love of the Lord. They can't even conceive of it. What? Yeah,
Coach. Yeah. They say, where are you from? Oklahoma.
What church? What church?
But it's encourage. They say, why do you come down here? Why do you come so far? I said, because you need us, because we want to be here.
Yeah.
We want to make a difference. I mean, we can do this at home, yes. But when you do something and you sacrifice your energy, your livelihood, your life, your time, and you go do this, it not only changes you, it changes them.
It matters, man. It matters.
It's all about change, Coach. If you want to stay where you're at, that's fine. I believe we should be changing. God is transforming. It's called sanctification. It's called change. I challenge everyone to be, let God change you. Let him, he opens the door. You got to go through it. You, it's up to you.
What's that old line? To have something you never had, you're going to have to do something you've never done. And that's what it is. Rewards here are great. Thanks, Randy, man. Thanks. Randy's a good guy. I was going to try to get some of these guys on here to testify this morning, but they're all talking to each other. Larry, you got anything you want to say? Larry's always got something he wants to say, so I'll bring Larry over here. Because Larry, you know, it's been a great example that there's always room for everybody to do something, right? Larry said, you know, I can't be out there doing that chainsaw. I'm not good enough shape to do that. I can't be doing that. But he said, I can cook. And he's, go ahead, Larry, you're on, man.
I just want to say it's such a pleasure. And to serve. I mean, I'm not trying to go out there and change the world. I just want to serve these men who are working so hard. And when they said, can you make them lunch? I said, not only can I make them lunch, I'll make them the best sack lunch they've ever had.
Yeah, hey, tuna salad, deviled eggs. Larry's all over it, man. It's been good.
So it's just been a pleasure to serve them. And I may not be out there doing the heavy lifting, but I'm in that kitchen working from 8 in the morning till 10 at night.
Job for everybody, isn't it, folks, huh? Larry, we appreciate it. Larry's player of the week so far, as far as I'm concerned. Cool. Hey, listen, let me get into a couple things here, important things I got to make sure everybody's aware of. Let me find that page again. I was heading y'all towards the Facebook page, wasn't I? I think maybe we showed Lexi on there. We got all that done. Let me go here. Occupied did it. Lexi. Hey, big news. I mean, I think it's kind of big news. Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy, will be on Glenn Beck Day. She's going to be on the Glenn Beck radio show talking about the day of mourning. And Jared, if you get ready there, if you can pop up that day of mourning, she made a little video there and evidently caught the Glenn Beck network. Elizabeth's written a book called Not On My Watch or something. It'll pop up here at the end. But this is just a little 2-minute promo video that Elizabeth did. So if you're sitting around today and you're not, you know, listening to the radio, do what I don't. Hey, can I tell you something? I don't listen to Glenn Beck anymore. Can I tell you why?
He was so wrong on Donald Trump. So wrong. There couldn't have been anybody more wrong on Donald Trump than Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck missed it by a mile, right? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be taking advice from somebody who missed it that bad on something that important. I'm not going to do it. So I don't listen to Glenn Beck. He's an entertainer in my mind. But God bless him, he's going to have Elizabeth on there. So maybe I'll tune in today to see what happens there, because I'd like to honor Elizabeth and what she's doing with the day of mourning. And as she plays this video, I want all of you out there to say, well, Coach, what am I supposed to do? You know, how can I get involved? Well, here is an opportunity on the day of mourning, February 23rd coming up. Elizabeth's going to kind of spell it out in this video, but things that you can do. You could organize a day of mourning right where you live, right in your town. You could organize that. You could get some of your friends at your church together and do something with a day of mourning. You could do it. And so I want you to watch this. It's about a 2-minute video that Elizabeth made, the promo video for the day of mourning, February 23rd. See if you can get involved. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and I'm the activist mommy. I'm so excited to tell you about what God is stirring amongst the American citizens. I'm sure you've heard by now about the outrageous and gruesome New York law that Governor Cuomo not only signed, but celebrated. This law would make it legal to kill a child all the way up to 40 weeks gestation. And although, yes, that is very gruesome, it is just as gruesome that for 46 years in this nation, babies, whether 5 weeks gestation or whether 40 weeks gestation, have been allowed to be executed in cold blood in our country. Ever since this law was signed in New York, my inboxes have been absolutely flooded with people begging, when are we going to New York? What can we do about this? There has to be a response to this outrageous and bloody law. We are calling America to repentance and mourning on February the 23rd. We are asking you to stand in solidarity with us and wear black. Don't shop. Close your businesses down. And lastly, repent and mourn with us over the sin of abortion. History shows us that nations that kill their children will not last long. That is why we must repent for the sin of abortion and mourn over what we have done to these precious innocent children. On February 23rd, America should be a ghost town of repentance and mourning. And maybe, just maybe, God will have mercy on us and spare us the judgment that we deserve right now. And on top of all of this, we are headed to Albany, New York, to host a rally at the Empire State Plaza Convention Center, where we will pray, worship together, and hear amazing speakers. We will all unify together with one voice saying, we will not tolerate the execution of babies through abortion.
Day of mourning. Day of mourning. I want to backtrack a little bit of what I said the other day. I didn't think it should be a day of mourning. It should be a day of abolition or a day of whatever. But I think she's really on to something here. Repentance, man. A day of repentance. A day of mourning and repentance. And if you haven't brought it up to your pastor, try to get hold of your pastor. Would that be something if America repented on February 23rd? Gave us a chance to come back to the Lord. Okay, I've blown my chops here for about a half hour. Somebody certainly got something on their heart. Come on in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? This is Paul.
Yeah, Paul. Good to hear you, man.
Hey, yesterday went down to Oklahoma City and lobbied for that SB 13.
Oh, yeah. They had a good crowd down there, didn't they, Paul?
Yeah, it was a good turnout. And, you know, I tell you what, it was very interesting. You know, Lord hooked me up with a gentleman there that kind of goes down there a lot and talks to a lot of his representatives and stuff. It was pretty interesting. They're very slick. just be praying for the bill, because I think Monday is supposed to be the gets on the agenda, because what they've done is they've kind of double, I don't know the terminology, but they put it in two committees to try to kill it.
Right.
And, you know, they're slick. They're very slick.
The good news, Paul, is it appears that finally, I want to tip my cap to Matt Tuella, Pastor Matt Tuella on it. The idea of states' rights, of interposition, of states standing up and saying, no, we are right now, brothers, we're at the precipice of that. And if we can get some people within our states who have the stones to face the federal beast and say, not in Iowa, not in Iowa, you're not going to do it. We see that people are doing, states are doing it for a lot. The other side has already overstepped partial birth abortion. They overstepped that. They said, screw you, man. Screw you, federal government. Right. We're not going to do that here in New York. Well, why can't Iowa and Ohio and Oklahoma and why can't other states say, well, we're not doing abortions here? I think we're at really a critical juncture. So people at Oklahoma are working hard at it. And I just saw that here in Ohio, another heartbeat bill has been submitted here in Ohio, that battle's back on the table, with the fact that our governor, new governor DeWine, said he will sign it. Kasich didn't sign it. So there's life out there. And is JR in here this morning? I don't know if JR is in here. I give credit where credit's due. JR is the one who opened my eyes to a very, very true fact, man. What's that true fact? That the devil owns the abortion industry. The devil doesn't. Mm-hmm. And see, there are many in the abolition movement say all or nothing, man. We got to go for the whole thing. We can't permit not one little baby to be slaughtered. And I agree with him. But if the devil's in total and complete control of the abortion movement, and we go in and take some of it back, is that not a victory? Are you there, JR? Can you weigh in on your perspective on that? I mean, I see you're there.
Are you there, JR? Can you
weigh in? Yeah, Coach. I appreciate that. Basically, what I'm saying is that we're in a war. We're in a battle. And when it comes to abortion, Satan owns the territory, all the territory, all of it. A woman can get an abortion anytime she wants, when she wants, no matter when it was in her stage. So when we have a chance to take some of that territory back, we should jump at it, because we're in a war. And if we can take some territory from the enemy, instead of sitting there and going, well, if it's not all, then I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
You can't win. You can't win.
I understand the argument, but we can't win that argument. I mean, we can, but we don't have men who will step forward and do it. So JR saying, if we go back and we protect babies with a heartbeat, we're certainly protecting some of them. We've taken turf back. I think that's
a Coach.
Yes.
In New Mexico, where they have that HB 51, what they're doing is they're actually doing that state level deal, but it's the opposition that's taking the start to it. When they pass that deal, if Roe v. Wade gets turned back, then they feel that the state now has the right to oppose the federal whatever the federal government wants to do. Now imagine this one. You have your listeners down there in Roswell, the Mora family, and you know they're alerted to what's going on. So maybe there's a seed that's starting to grow down there, and they have family all over. So that's a good point. Now here in El Paso, imagine this. There's this guy that has this website that's abolishhumanabortion.com. So these people, they're more of abolitionist, but the whole point is it's growing. Here in El Paso, where people are very, they're kind of blue and this and all that kind of stuff, it's growing here. And I reached out to him so that we can start doing some kind of a movement here too. Mm-hmm. He was down there with his two sons, amongst all those people that were coming to see Donald Trump, and he had those Matt Tuella kind of posters. They're about four or five foot tall, with pictures of babies that had been aborted. Two of them, the 13-year-old and the 16-year-old son, they were down there doing that. And that caught my attention. I'd never seen that here in El Paso.
Mm-hmm. But,
and it's a town of 750,000, so imagine that.
So listen, folks, two things. One thing I forgot, I'm going to tie this together here, okay? Chad's having an event down in Austin, down in Moody, at his house this weekend coming up. And I'm sure he's notified people down there. If you're in the Texas area, get down to Chad's, because Chad's putting together the team. Now here's what I'm – Chad, you want to throw any details in there about that? I don't want to lose my train of thought here. You hang on, Chad. I'll come back to you.
No, go ahead.
I'll come back to you. Because, listen, folks, I'm going to – hey, guys, the battle's local. The battle's local. I'm down here right now in Panama City, Florida. And can I ask you something? Can I use the H-E-double-L word? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to do that? What the hell is going on that people in Washington, D.C. are telling people in Panama City, Florida, what they can do? What is going on? That's not the way our government was designed. All politics are local. And we're finding out now the left has suddenly switched tactics, and they are taking the battle local. Are you seeing it? Like, are you opening your eyes? Do you realize that the battle over abortion has now moved to the states where it should have always been? And remember, the left didn't want the battle fought at the states. Why? Because they had control of the federal courts. Well, now that they're losing the Supreme Court, what have they done? They've switched strategies. And I'm going to tell you something. They're trying to get out ahead of us again. See, they're legalizing murder at the state level, where we've been saying all along is where the battle should be. So what am I saying, Vic? It all politics again becomes local. You ready, Denny? Not in Iowa. Not in Iowa. They're not going to do it. And see, that's the battle cry that we have to have. And that's the importance of gathering and getting people together, like-minded, to get in the game. Now that government is coming back to us, it appears, we ought to be riding the lead horse in some of these things. Chad, now you can come on in and talk. I was afraid I was going to forget that, Chad.
Well, that's all right, Dave. I mean, look, we're just trying to, you know, in communication with those other people, with Rafael Cruz and all those people of Texas Values, you know, to try to at least have some representation down there, some opposition. It
right.
Doesn't have to be a whole constellation of people. It just has to be somebody there that says, not in Texas. No, we're not going to tolerate stuff. We're not going to put up with it because, see, they've just ran roughshod over us because we've had no opposition.
No opposition.
But I think they're falling for the banana in the tailpipe because, see, they're, like you said, they're losing the national court system and they're pushing it down the state.
That's right.
They just don't have the control in every state that they do nationally. It's easier to control 8 Supreme Court justices than it is to control 5,000 Supreme Court justices.
They only need to control 5 Supreme Court justices. See, that's all they need. They just need 5.
Right, right.
And they shove all this stuff down our throat. Now, listen, can I give you a football axiom here? That's a big word, axiom. That's like example, okay? I'm going to give you a football axiom. We used to teach our defensive linemen. For those of you who don't understand football, defensive line, that's one of the most difficult positions to play because you try to tell your guys on the defensive line, don't worry about where the ball is. When the ball is snapped, fire out low, hard, and keep your feet, and then find the football. Now, we said until you've occupied the spot that you are supposed to get to, you better learn, we've told them, to fight pressure. When the ball snapped, the guy on the other side of the ball, he's going to come off that ball and he's going to try to take you one way or another. Now, you get where you're supposed to get, and then you play football off of him. If he's pushing you left, don't go left. Don't go left. You go right. If he's pushing you back, don't go back. Go forward. Fight pressure. If this is coming to the states, boys and girls, now we have a chance to really and truly fight pressure and fight back. Because hey, they don't own the state house in Iowa. They don't own the state house in Texas. They don't own the state house in Oklahoma. They don't own the state house in Ohio. Government appears right now, temporarily, on some of these issues to be coming back to the people. So what do we have to do? We got to fight pressure, baby. Go ahead, Chad.
And Dave, I was just going to say that, you know, your Washington people, they're untouchable. You can't go down there. You don't live amongst them. Mm-hmm. But the elected officials down here, they have regular jobs. They're just 6 months in the thing. They get paid $3,800 a year. And then the rest of the time, they still have to work. They still have to do lawyers, doctors, businessmen, whatever. Okay, they still have to be down here in the middle of it. So they are approachable, and they are more susceptible to pressure.
Amen. So we have to fight that pressure, right? We have to meet them. And that's, in my heart, that's what this whole Salt and Light Brigade thing is all about. It's what, anybody out there remembers me saying the British are coming? The British are coming? And see, I don't even know what that, I didn't know what it means. I still don't know totally what it means. But I'm telling you, boys and girls, that everything is going to ultimately end up right where you live. We were having a little bit of communication today before we came on the air. I can't remember whether it was the guys in the queue. Yeah, it was with the guys in the queue, Chad and those guys. I said, listen, man, you better realize at some point, I don't know how long it will be. I don't know how long it will last. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know what it is. But there's going to be come a time where all of your communication is going to be cut off, whether it be power outages, whatever it would be, whether the cell towers go down, whether the internet goes down. Listen, folks, if you don't think that's coming at some point, I'm telling you it's coming. So when that happens, it's just you. Me and you and a dog named Boo. That's it. That's what it's going to be. And so the importance of networking is really, really critical. Now, Chad's down there in Texas, and he's networking very well in Texas. But can I be honest with you? He's in Moody, and Glenn and Corinne are in Dallas, and that's an hour and a half. And Vic's in El Paso, and that's 7 hours or 8 hours. And even at that point, even organized distance is going to become an issue. So the important part of getting together and connecting is going to become more and more crucial. But ultimately, there's going to come a time where you're going to have to be able to fight this fight just with those people right in your local area. What if the cars aren't running? What if the cell phones aren't working? What are you going to do then? Are you, which is why we did the show and Chad brought up in the pre-show, the whole idea of ham radios and some other types of communication that we're going to be able to connect with each other. So in my mind, I don't know what the Lord's doing with my life. I don't know that, but I believe the Lord is getting us back. James Carville said all politics are local. I think the Lord's trying to get us our eyes off of Washington and get our eyes on right where we live and the people around us and networking right where we live. When all hell breaks loose, who's going to pick up the torch in Moody, Texas? Who's going to be equipped and ready to do that? Who's going to pick it up in Tulsa, Oklahoma? Who are people going to be able to come and have somebody have some type of idea and some type of plan? In my heart, that's where I think it's gone. And, you know, you got to certainly get right with the Lord. If you're not right with the Lord, then it's all not worth anything anyway. But I think it's a
coach.
Yeah, Vic.
We see, like, God is a cog. Everything is, it spokes out from him. He's the cog, and you're a cog, and you have spokes that are, you know, extending from you. And what we need to do, just like Chad, he's a cog, right? and he has his spokes. But, you know, like, I'm out here in El Paso, I have to become a cog.
You have to.
And for me, I have to start creating, whether it's here in my neighborhood or whatever, I have to start creating a network here too.
Amen.
It falls upon all of us. And we have to become little mini cogs all over. And the more cogs that we have, the better this thing's going to work out for all of us.
Mm-hmm. All politics are local. And if something were to happen, listen, guys, we're living in 2019. The technology that's available is amazing. And if once the technology is pulled out from under us, then we're back to the basics, right? And are we able, if we get back to the basics, are we able to survive? Just even start there? Because, you know, people are around. There's going to be some type of civilization that's going to, whatever happens, there's going to be a civilization that's going to form. And you know what I think it's going to be? I think it's going to be, I hate to tell you this, it ain't going to be loony left civilization. Because those good old boys with the guns who understand right and wrong and what the obligation of a man is and what we're supposed to do, those boys are going to come to the, they're going to come to the surface. It ain't going to be those loony left birds that are doing it. Those snowflakes, they ain't going to be doing it, right? So we have to be strategically positioned to say, okay, when this stuff goes down in our neighborhood, we're going to come up with some type of watch system and yada yada yada, and we are going. We're going to have some Christian principles here. We're not going to steal from each other. We're going to love our neighbors. We're going to protect one another. I think it's coming back to that. Somebody come on in here. I'm all over the place.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, just real quick. That Jamie Walden book, it's so prophetic because that Omega Dynamics, when I heard his interview there on Hagman the other night, he says, you know, he was taking, for example, the dried food that we don't understand how much water we're going to have to use that, you see.
Right, right.
And he brought up some points that were pretty amazing.
Omega Dynamics. Amen, amen. So here's Gary Donahill. I want to bring Gary in here. Gary's from Pennsylvania. It's his second trip down here. He's come all the way down here. Gary, everybody's listening here, man. Your reaction, right? What the heck am I saying?
I come down here for the fellowship. And while we're here, we do some mercy work. We do some tree cutting.
Right.
But I come here for the fellowship. It's really what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Get together with people that you like-minded. But also when you work with the people, you see the tears coming out of their eyes. They just really, it touches them. And that's where I got it. What Dale said yesterday when he prayed, that touched me. Did you touch on that?
No, I'm going to let Dale come over and touch on it. Or he can touch on it from over there.
Yeah. That really touched me. And it's true. Very true.
And you know, the truth is, you don't even know all these guys real well, but you know them, don't you?
Oh, I know them now. Yeah.
You know them.
I'm getting to know them. Yep.
You know they're all in.
Yep. All in.
You know the crap hits the fan. These guys are all in. They'll do whatever they can. So we got to find more of them, don't we, Gary?
Yep, we do.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Bless you. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, you. Hey, Dale. I know you're listening over there. You want to come over here? I want you to talk about what that prayer that you had yesterday. Do you remember it? Dale says it's going right over his head. Do you remember, Dale?
I got the memory of a goldfish. What's your name?
Yeah.
Was this the prayer based on why am I here? Why did I come down here? About the trees?
So I agree.
You know, it's I'll say that I love the fact that I got to meet Randy and his boys from Oklahoma, and once again put faces to these people in the huddle, as Coach always says, you know. And so, you know, I was, you know, to come and do this, I agree. It's Mercy Ministries is great. I like the prophetic ministry. And so I'm like, Lord, you know, why are we there? And I shared, you can go back and understand why we did the floods in Texas and, you know, removing stuff out of people's lives and the clutter and the things that they cling to. And I said, Lord, they didn't have the water. So what is it that
why are we here? Especially even why 4 months later.
What the heck are we doing here? And so we're going to cut trees. And the Lord dropped in my spirit. He said, these trees are obstacles and they need to be removed. He said, and like a tree starts as a little seedling. He said, some of these have been strongholds in their life and need to be removed. And so that's what we're here for. We're removing the obstacles that they might see Christ and him alone high and lifted up.
Wow.
And that was it, brother.
Yeah. Is that something, huh? Think about that, right? See, listen, folks, ministry, I was having this conversation with Mark Trump again yesterday. It's never about you. This idea that they've taught us in church, the best life now and all that, you're a dead man. You're supposed to be a dead man. You've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. You are his ambassador here. So everything that you do, it ain't about you.
It isn't about us.
It's not about you.
Colossians says, whatever you do in word or in deed, truth or in your actions, he says, you do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord and not unto man.
Amen.
So when we do that, the gospel opens up. Sixfold ministry. Apostles, pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, and coaches.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, man. Yeah, come on in.
Yep. You know, what Dale said there is so true. But as you remove those obstacles in other lives, the Lord will remove those that are in yours.
It's amazing, isn't it? And when you remove those obstacles, see, and you know, Dale also, Dale said something when we were down in, he said it yesterday again, but when we were down in Louisiana a couple years ago doing the flood relief down there, he said, you know, you guys got to realize that if we had gone into these neighborhoods down here, and let's say before the hurricane hits, and we show up with our chainsaws and our skid steers and our tractors, and we said, "Hey, we're here to cut down your trees," they'd have called the cops, wouldn't they? Say, "What? Cut down our trees? Are you kidding me?" And then those trees that they idolized and their lives, all those idols in your own life, right? Those trees, after that hurricane came through, the thing that they were so impressed with and so willing to protect, to keep, just became a burden to them. The same to this house we were at yesterday, the lady said, front yard only. She had to pay to have 20 trees, big trees, 20 trees removed. Those were obstacles, man. And so it shows that in our walk, the things that are important and the things that aren't important and the things that we cling to that in an instant can be changed overnight to be meaningless in your life. And the trap that we all find ourselves caught in, we get our foot caught in that trap like an old beaver trap, and we've got to chew our own leg off in order to get out of it. There's the things that we thought were the blessings of our life sometimes come to become the greatest hindrances to it. And that's a tough lesson, man. A tough lesson. And so one of the things I'm trying to do is prepare all of us, man, become a little bit tougher, because maybe it's coming. Somebody come on there. I've rambled today, man. I apologize. Yeah, George.
Yeah, man, it's just great to see you and Randy and Dale and all the guys down there. Man, that just does my heart great. And
save your thought a minute. I want to say this before I forget it. I can't believe the men who've come into my life in the last 2 years that I would have never known. I've got lifelong friends that couldn't give 10 rats butts behind about me. And the men that have come into my life, they're not a more blessed man in America. Go ahead, George.
Amen. Well, Coach, to go along with that, you know, really you've assembled a really great team, because there's so many different facets to your team and so many people do their part. And there's a lot of people just listen to the show are doing things they give monetarily, or they've helped in other ways behind the scenes. And I mean, it's just, it really is an amazing team. But I was going to go back to local politics, because I know Paul and Alan went yesterday to Oklahoma City. Mm. And we have a governor, Kevin Stitt, who obviously defeated Dan Fisher, although Dan's still very active in trying to end abortion. But Kevin Stitt, our governor, made a comment. He said, "I'll sign any bill that will end abortion." So you know, we're gonna take it to him, Coach. We're gonna see. You know, he goes to a big Assembly of God church with a weak pastor, but we're gonna see what he's made of. And you're right, we've got to keep this thing local, because I was listening to Lindsey Graham yesterday, and I turned it off because I thought, this guy's so full of hot air. I mean, I can do very little to change Lindsey Graham, but we can do a lot in our own city and state to change what's going on here. And that just resonated with me this morning.
George, the idea that abortion is the law of the land, we know that's not true. We know it's not true. They're showing us it's not true, right? And so we're going to say, okay, you want to play that game? You want to play the state's rights game? We're all in. Let's go. We're all in. And but it doesn't happen if we sit back and just watch. We have to become proactive. We have to become more vocal and more proactive and show up at our state houses, because it's coming to us. Okay, here's one. This will make right wing watch. What about the idea of this this whole idea, this Muslim invasion? Any states' rights involved in that? Right. What about welfare payments? What about welfare payments going to these illegal aliens? Are there any states' rights involved there? We got to become smarter and become more creative and say, you know, that beast in Washington, D.C., it ain't going to control us here. We're not going to let that. That's not the way this thing was designed. And we have to begin to fight it that way, see?
Hey, right. Coach, you look at you talking about immigration. Look at how many cities are disobeying the immigration order.
That's what I'm saying, right? So the left is showing us that the federal law only applies when it's in their favor, and we are not smart enough yet to figure it out. Although Matt Twell has been trying to tell us for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years, come on, boys, defy them. It was William Henry Harrison, I believe, who said, "Well, they made the Supreme Court made the ruling. Let's see them enforce it. Let's see them enforce it."
Amen.
Hey, they can't enforce it. Yeah.
You know what we need to do? We need to show them what reality is all about. So think about this. Did you hear about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's plan to stop cows from farting?
Yeah.
Right? So think about this. It's so absurd that it's gotten to this point that maybe we should think about something else, about growing food. So they have us growing grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is decorative but useless as far as a propagation of humanity, right? And it's illegal to grow food for some reason. So that grass that we're growing on the lawn should be feeding the cows, which would stop them from farting and would be better for us all together. And we should be growing food in our lawns, not grass. I think the whole thing is stupid.
Well.
but maybe that's why farming is not taught in schools, because kids would say, well, if we're planting grass in our lawns, but the cows can eat that and actually benefit from that, why aren't we doing that? Kids would actually tell teachers that they're a bunch of morons for having us grow grass in our lawns and not feeding the cows with it.
Mm-hmm. I got you, Vinny. It's again, I don't want to sound redundant. Just too many of these positions of authority or influence, we've just given over. We've given over to the other side. So we cannot be surprised that they are really just showing their hind ends. I'd use a different word. You know what I'm talking about? The left is. We're watching what's going on the left and saying, those guys are nuts. Hey, folks, they've been nuts all along. They just haven't been as obviously nuts. They've been nuts.
Hey, Coach. Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know, it just hit me what you're saying. You know, the left have had boots on the ground for years, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. I mean, to their credit, I've got to tip my hat to them. They have had boots on the ground. Pretty much, in my opinion, what the Christians' attitudes have been for the past 60, 70 years has been, let's just pray about it.
Uh-huh. We won't be here long.
Let's just – yeah, so even when the enemy – hey, if the enemy does something that's admirable, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, right?
Right.
But let's learn from that. And I think that's what you're saying. And that's what makes the Salt Light Brigade so powerful is we're a counter. We're a counter, and we're actually, we have the power of God on our side. So we're actually going out in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more powerful than that. You're just sitting there and praying isn't going to get the job done.
Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Look at what the enemy's doing, how they're advancing the ball. Say, man, that's a pretty good idea. Why don't we try that?
Hey, Coach.
Why don't we try that? Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, along those lines, you know, what's that? I forget where the scripture is. Talks about the lepers. They're sitting there and they're saying, you know, well, we're going to die anyway, so. Instead of sitting here complaining, while we go here, go to the Philistines' camp. They may kill us, but and when they did that, all of a sudden the sound of a mighty army came, and they ended up killing each other, the Philistines. Uh-huh. So right. You never know what happens when we get together. We may not be a whole lot, but if we allow the Lord to lead us, that will make it seem like we're thousands and thousands of people, and they'll listen.
You know, Paul, I'm a Bible believer, and I can read the Bible, and I can read the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. I can read all that stuff. But we're very, very presumptuous to look at the signs of the times and say, well, this is it. It's winding down. What if we're wrong in that? What if the church, over the last 50 or 60 or 80 or 100 years, what if we have yielded ground that we had no business yielding ground? And what if the fact that we have yielded the ground doesn't mean the end of the world, but means the end of this civilization, means the end of America as we know it? Why are we so content? Even though we can read the signs, why are we so convinced this is it? Do you guys get up in the morning Do you really get up in the morning and live your life like this is the last day of your life? Because if you believed it was the last day of your life, that we're not even going to be here next week, you wouldn't go to work. You wouldn't do anything. And that's the attitude that the church has adopted. We're not going to be here long, so I'm just going to enjoy these last few years because there isn't anything we can do about it. Guys, we don't even live our lives like that. Why are we living our Christian life?
Hey Coach.
Yeah.
Man, you're getting my wheels churning this morning. See, again, we have to go back to history, don't we?
Yes.
Because there have been a handful of empires since Adam and Eve. Okay. There's been the Medo-Persians, the Babylonian, the Greeks, the Romans. There's been the British Empire. And look, every empire has had a shelf life, right?
Yep.
But Jesus still didn't return in the sense of coming back for the final time.
Right.
So you're right. See, like you always say, we tend to judge history, and I'm guilty of it too, by the day we were born. Okay. Uh-huh. But you know what? But if we study past civilizations, there is a very good chance Jesus may not return in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. He may. Who knows?
It's presumptuous, though, George. It's
presumptuous because an empire, which America is an empire, we're no longer a nation. And I could go into a big long thing on that, but I won't. But we're an empire, and empires, because they always overextend themselves and become very corrupt, have a shelf life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. They have a shelf life. And the fact that America goes down doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Could mean it's the end of America. But I still think there's some good stuff coming. There's some bad stuff coming, but I think there's going to be good that's going to come out of it. Hey, I've been all over the place today, man. I've just been all over the place. But it's because, you know, Jesus said you can sit on your porch. I'm looking out the window right now at the weather. He says you can sit on your porch and see the clouds building. You know it's going to be a stormy day. He says, you hypocrites, well, how come you can't read the signs of the time? Now, he didn't say you sit on your back porch and see the storm clouds building and you go in and you huddle down and you don't ever come out. He didn't say that. He says, you see the storm coming, prepare, because there's a storm coming. But it's interesting, isn't it, that he said storm, that means weather, that means it passes, it comes and it goes, it passes through. And we are in the midst of a storm in America like we have never seen in America. And are we preparing in this storm? And I'm not just talking about food and all that kind of stuff. Are we preparing? Are we at all preparing for the upheaval that's coming to the United States of America? Is the church preparing the next generation of leaders after this storm passes? No. Why? They think we're going to get blown away in the tornado. They think there ain't going to be any.
Well, Coach, there's a paramedic apparently who doesn't believe that life begins at conception. This guy Travis, who put up that stupid article of you yesterday on this Patheos.
Oh yeah, blog. Well, I don't.
Yeah, I know. A bunch of nonsense. But you see how they have no argument. Life begins at conception. You can't obfuscate it. You can't wish it away. It's what happens. Two sets of genes are united at that moment. Yeah. That moment of meeting, and they make a completely unique human being, fully formed. Fully created, but not fully realized.
So, guys, it is cognitive dissonance. You know, we've been talking a lot about here this weekend, this week. What's cognitive dissonance? Cognitive dissonance is not believing what you see. Isn't that what it is?
It.
Talk about it, man. Real quick. We got about a minute left.
Yep. We got to overcome. We got to get to cognitive dissonance before people change. If you're not at cognitive dissonance, they remain the same. So if you're talking to a new believer, you got to bring him above cognitive dissonance.
To where he believes what he sees.
Right? Well, you have to have the word in your head so that you can overcome objections. You got to have the truth in your heart so that you have the truth to use discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is to help people overcome cognitive dissonance.
And so, Mark, down here, we're down here in Florida right now, and people still have this idea that the government's going to help them. That's cognitive dissonance, isn't it?
You're looking for a handout. So what's God say? He gave his talents. He multiplied their talents. He said, take the talent from the one who didn't, give it to the man with 10. And then God says, go take the rest of his stuff.
Mm.
the man who only had one talent in the end, go take all of his stuff.
So they ain't going to do anything with that one.
Right. What do we do in our government? We take from the people who earn and we give it to the people who do nothing. It's exactly the opposite God's word. We're going to get judged for that, folks. And we're in the nation that's going to get judged. So make sure your heart's right.
There's your mic drop moment. Pray for us today that we stay safe. A lot of great stuff down there. Great fellowships being built. And just honored to be part of it. Thank you to all of you who donated, kept our boots on the ground down here. We're spending every cent of it. We're making good use of it. And
changing lives.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, folks. God bless. Thanks for joining us.